Readers Entertainment presents Book Lights, where we are shining the light on good books.
Good evening. This is Deborah Parmley, the host of Book Lights, and tonight I'm pleased to have Jen Felsey with me live on the show. Jen is an award-winning author of romantic suspense. Darkwater hit number 10 in Barnes & Noble, and her books have been in the top 50 on Amazon. Jennifer grew up in Rochester, New York. She recently retired from being a full-time hockey mom as her children hung up their skates, and she and her children still live in Rochester while her children travel the globe. Jen was the co-founder of Cool Gus Publishing with New York Times bestselling author Bob Mayer. Welcome, Jen. I'm excited to have you on the show tonight.
I'm excited being here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Tonight we're going to talk about two of your books, Murder in Paradise Bay, which is book 4 in your New York State Trooper series, and book 5, To Protect His Own. But first, for readers who are meeting you for the first time tonight, tell us a little bit about the New York State Trooper series, and do we need to read the books in order, or can they be read as standalone?
You don't have to read them in order. They can be standalones, although time-wise, one book follows the other book. So the kind of understanding where the secondary characters that get moved from one book to the next and how they kind of follow along. But you don't have to read them in the order, in the same order. And you know, I have a lot of I like troopers. I like cops. I'm kind of fascinated by the profession. So I decided to go with that when I first started writing.
All right, and so we don't have to start in order, so we could start with one of your newer books. So let's talk about book 4. Now, book 4 is Murder in Paradise, and you have a construction owner hero, and that intrigues me because I'm married to a subcontractor, so I know a little bit about that world of subcontracting. Your hero, though, he's in some deep, deep trouble, so tell us about it.
Yeah, so this one is kind of interesting for me because I fell in love with these two characters when I first started thinking about them, like back when I wrote the first book in the series. And so basically Doug, our construction worker, he's in the process of getting divorced, and the day before he's supposed to sign his papers, his ex-wife is found at the bottom of the lake, and she's been murdered. And of course, he's the cop's best suspect, but the interesting part is the state trooper who happens to be on the rescue swimming dive is one of the ones who finds his soon-to-be ex-wife in the bottom of the lake, but it's also his love interest and happens to be his business partner's daughter. So it gets kind of hairy there for a little while because not only is he a suspect, but then you know, Stacy, the heroine, who happens to be a state trooper, is now also being looked at as an accomplice because they, you know, started a relationship a little bit before his divorce became final.
Uh-oh, so they're both in big trouble.
Yeah, they are. It was a lot of fun, right, because it's a story of two people who've known each other for a really long time, so there's a lot of history, which gives you a lot of material to work with.
Oh, yeah, it would. It sure would. Okay, so let's jump ahead to book 5, To Protect His Own. Now, this one's coming out in March, so tell us what we have to look forward to in this book.
This one is a reunion story. So you take a couple who haven't seen each other in 10 years, and they broke up for various reasons. The backstory is 3 months before the book starts, the heroine, Kenzie, goes to meet Jake, which she does all the time to tell Jake about his father and what's going on at the farm, and then they fight. Nothing ever happens. But this time, something happens, and she ends up pregnant. So the story starts off where Jake's father is poisoned, but the poison wasn't meant for him. It was meant for Kenzie, who runs the farm, and so now Jake has to come back because someone's trying to kill his father and the mother of his unborn child. So I just finished the draft of it, so I have to go back and read it and make sure all of the things are tied up. But it was an interesting story for me, research-wise, because I'd never done anything with, you know, poisoning somebody. So that was interesting.
Oh, I bet. There's a lot to that. All right. Okay, I want to make sure that readers know where to find you on the web before we get too chatty. So can you give us your website real quick?
Yeah, it's pretty easy, jentalty.com. And Talty is easy because it's just like salty but with a T. And then I have a blog, which is jentaltyblog@wordpress.com.
Great. All right. And where can readers find you in person? Do you have any events coming up?
I don't have a lot scheduled for this year. I do attend a fair amount of writer conferences. This year I'll be at Art of UA Romance Writers, and then I'll also be attending Thriller Fest and New Jersey Romance Writers Conference. I know I'll be attending that one. So those are the three ones that I have scheduled. I'm sure other things will come up.
All right. Now let's get back to talking about your state troopers. What drew you to write about state troopers? Is there a personal connection? And what kind of research do you do for the books in your series?
This question always makes me chuckle. I always joke my husband is a wannabe cop. He's a salesman. But every Thursday night and Saturday night, he, for 20 years, has had a group of guys that come over and play poker. And a couple of them happen to be state troopers. They're my go-to guys. So like when they come over to play poker, I'm always asking them questions. Like when I said Stacy in Murder in Paradise Bay, that's like the first female state trooper I've ever written. And so I kind of had to ask them questions about, you know, what's the difference in training or, you know, whatever. I found out that their gun belt is actually shaped different because women's hips are shaped different. I didn't know that. All the guys at poker always joke, you know, that they're the heroes in my book because I write about most of the books I write about troopers. I do have a book where it's an FBI agent, another book where it's a sheriff. So it's just in general, men in uniform. I love men in uniform.
There's just something about a man in uniform, I know. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So when you've got the guy showing up for poker, it's kind of like ante up and what will you tell me now, right? That's
yeah. And then they always laugh because I start talking about these people like they really exist, and they're looking at me like, those people aren't real. I'm like, they are to me.
That's fun. So what is your favorite thing about writing state troopers?
Probably because it lends itself to having a villain, having a bad guy. I've always been fascinated by the darker side of human nature, but I don't want to necessarily write dark books. So this kind of gives me, you know, there's a bad guy. I mean, you know, somebody dies or, you know, somebody's been murdered. We always joke that, you know, my tagline now is where there's murder, there is love. Because pretty much very, very few of my books, you know, almost all of them, somebody has to die. And it's a moral imperative. Somebody must die. So I think with state troopers or cops in general, it lends itself well to satisfying my need to have a really good, bad person.
Yes. All right. So now I have to ask you, how do you get into the mind of that diabolical villain that's in your stories? The diabolical villains are fascinating, but how do you get into that mindset?
I try not to get too deep into the mindset because that's kind of a scary, deep, dark place to go. And my mind is scary enough as it is. mostly what I do is, you know, my villains are generally off stage. While the readers will see them, they won't know that it's the killer. You know, they have some sort of, you know, secondary role in the book. I generally kind of try and keep them off stage so I'm not in their mind. I never write in their point of view. And most of it, which is interesting to me, is most of the crimes that I come up with are things that I've heard in the news or, you know, read a true crime book and I thought, oh, that would be really cool. Or my state trooper's friend tell me a really weird story is something that happened on a call that they went on. And I'm like, I got to write about that.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of makes it easy, so I don't have to get too far deep into their mind and just kind of make things happen, and then really kind of focus on the hero and heroine and what's going on with them.
Right, right. Do you listen to music when you write? Is there anything you do to set the tone and help you get into that intense story world?
You know, for me, I kind of got this from my business partner. Actually, now I got it from my business partner, Bob Mayer, where he always says, you know, butt glue. Just put your butt in the chair and write. You have to do it. It's a job. So I sit down and I write every day. There are times where, you know, if I'm stuck, I'll get up and, like, go clean the kitchen floor. And for whatever reason, when I'm scrubbing the kitchen floor, something will come to me and then I have to stop. And then my husband gets mad at me because the floor is only half clean because I'm back in my office writing. You know, for me, it's I write every day. I dream about my people. I think about my people. I will get up in the middle of the night and have to, you know, sneak out of the bedroom so I don't wake up my husband and, you know, write something down, or go actually start typing at 3 o'clock in the morning because something came to me. And as far as music goes, I always have music on in the background. And it depends on what I'm writing. And sometimes it depends on what scene I'm writing and what kind of music I'll listen to. Right now I seem to be in a country mood and listening to a lot of Big and Rich and they call it mafia music, I think, Gretchen Wilson, that kind of stuff. But also Jake, my hero in To Protect His Own, you know, it's a horse farm. So I don't know, it's kind of fitting to listen to country music. Murder in Paradise Bay, I listened to Justin Timberlake over one song from that movie Trolls, and now I can't think of the name of the song, over and over and over again. I mean, it was like the only song I wanted to listen to. And then sometimes, yeah, like when I'm, you know, writing a romantic scene, I want to put on a different kind of music, or if I'm writing something that's like kind of creepy, I generally will put on rap. So really, it's just kind of whatever strikes me at the time.
It's a good way to change up the themes when you're in the next one. And you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you got to just get in there and sit in the chair and do it. All the new writers out there, listen, listen. There's a reason we're all saying the same thing.
I think it was Nora Roberts who said something like, if you gonna wait for the muse to land on your shoulder, you're never gonna write. I mean, it's interesting when people say, oh, I'm gonna, you know, I have to wait, it has to be this, I have to light my candles, I have to do this. For me, it's just sit down and write. I mean, you just got to do it. There are times I'm just sitting there staring out the window and drooling, you know, and I write, you know, 5 words, and then the next day, like, I can crank out 5,000 words. But you just have to do it. You just have to do it.
You really do. I wish we had more time to chat because I'm having so much fun.
I know.
I'm really glad
it's
you could
been
come
great.
On. Let me ask you real quick, what's next in the pipeline after you finish, when you finished with book 5, what's book 6? Do you have that one planned out yet?
I do have book 6 sort of planned out. I don't have quite all of the story, so I don't really have much to say about it. But I do have another book that's the starting of a new series. That's an FBI agent and a city cop who get together. Basically, I'll give you the tagline. It's, what if somebody was already going around collecting already donated body parts?
Oh,
so
wow.
It's a little darker, but it is still a romance. And actually, this one is set in Rochester, New York, where I live, not set in Lake George. So that's kind of different for me. So that I'm hoping to find a home for it and have that published within the next year.
Right. I look forward to that one. Well, Jen, I want to thank you for joining me here tonight on Book Life. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for having me.
And I want to thank everyone tonight for listening and invite you to join me next Tuesday night where we will shine a light on good books. Join me for Book Lights. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you for joining us on Book Lights. Be sure to connect with us at readersentertainment.com for articles, blogs, videos, and podcasts that matter to readers.